I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Nice dancing, Scott.
Whatever.
It's a good day when Scott's wearing his BYU Media Day badge and it says that he's an employee of BYU, of the BYU Sports Network. Look at this. Showing Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 TV. BYU Sports Network, Scott Mitchell. Somebody did that as a prank, right? Although, stop. Don't try to tear it off. How dare you? Why would you disgrace the helmet like that? BYU Football Media Day, final one of the Independence era, and we're going to be down in Dallas for Big 12 Media Day next year. Are we sending anybody down this year? Are you guys figuring somebody out for this year? Sam, is anybody from TV going?
Not to Media Day.
Right.
Mitch? I guarantee Mitch is going to be Harper.
Mitch is like a spy at this point. Yeah. He's gone to everything early. He's dipping in on all these things that are going on. So Mitch from KSLSports.com is going to absolutely be at this year's.
Yeah.
And then I think next year we're going to blow it out
next
of the water.
Next year for sure.
We're going to all be there.
Yeah.
So,
Jerry World, here we come. They have not seen anything like KSL Sports yet.
That's true. They're going to be like. But we need to throw on our best Southern accent so we can stay. So we can.
You'll have to teach us.
I'll show you guys what the Texas accent is like. Well, I just do a Jerry impersonation. That's all I do.
Sam, thanks for being here, man. I mean, it's real good to see y'all at AT&T Stadium. Okay?
Always wheeling and dealing. We've got some. What was your favorite part of BYU Media Day? It's our final one of Independence, so they blew it out. They had 20 plus players. They had all the coaching staff out. So, what stood out to you?
Media Day events, I love them. Whether it's like Super Bowl Media Days or just name your sport, put Media Day next to it. It's great because you get more access than you get at any other practice or game or any other time of the
year. They know they have to play ball with you.
And yeah, it's great. And so, we spoke with dozens of people today. Obviously, the entire head coach, the head coach, his whole staff, several players. There's always, you learn and get a good feel for certain people's players' personalities a little more than you would just by seeing them on a football field or in a regular interview. But it was fun. It was a good time. These guys, they all kind of have that theme of, yeah, we know this is the last year of Independence. We want to go out on a bang here, and so they want to make this worth this last year of Independence for sure. They're not getting too distracted with the Big 12 talk, I don't think.
Who stood out to you as far as players and just kind of maybe some of the things they said and some of their thoughts and their mm-hmm. perspective?
Ooh, that's a nice tidbit, something like that.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Love that.
There's a few players that I really like. I was telling you guys off the air a little bit, I really like Ben Bywater a lot. I mean, this is a guy who, it depends on how you want to look at it. He's going into his fourth year at BYU, but he's a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So last year as a freshman, in his first real experience, he had over 100 tackles. There's only two linebackers in the state of Utah that had more tackles than Ben Bywater last year. Devin Lloyd was a first-round draft pick. The other guy I think should be on an NFL roster, Justin Rice, who played at Utah State.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was Ben Bywater. I mean, this is a guy who has a knack for getting to the football, and he just – has that personality where you can just tell he loves to play football. Like, him and football are a perfect marriage, right? And so that's a guy I'm really excited to see play this year, because can he take it to another level in really only his second year of meaningful football? And that whole position group, you know, we talked to Peyton Wilger, we talked to Keenan Peely, all three of those guys talked about how great that and deep that linebacker core is. You know, you also have Max Tooley, you got Chaz Ayu, who's kind of the hybrid there a little bit, but you've got a lot of talented players in that group. And it, you know, one thing each one of them said to us was that having that kind of interposition competition is a great thing, because it keeps all of them on their toes. It makes them all bring their best game to practice and to the coaches, right? So that they are ready and prepared come game day in September 3rd.
There was an offensive lineman, Clark Barrington, sitting at a table, and it was one of those like kind of down moments. They're kind of waiting, they're kind of doing the transition. So they didn't have name tags on the
right.
on the table. Scott goes, "Which coach is that over there?" Because
like he looked like a coach.
He goes, "Which coach is that?" I go, "That's Clark Barrington, dude." Like that, but it's because he has the Aaron Roderick mustache.
Right.
That already adds 15 years to your. You know, he just looked like. I mean, and all the staff were wearing the same T-shirt or the same shirts as the coaches.
I'm telling you, Clark Barrington and Blake Freeland are both going to be day two draft picks next year, I think. I mean, I guess Blake doesn't have to go to the NFL if he doesn't want it yet, right?
Yeah.
And I guess probably neither is Clark. But
I'd be so.
Those are two guys. I think they might be the two best football players on this team. And I didn't know a whole lot about Blake Freeland. I knew little bits. Jeremiah Jensen was also with us today. Jeremiah Jensen covered Blake Freeland in high school at Harriman High School. His sophomore and junior year, beginning of his junior year, he was the quarterback.
Right. He was. Right? I remember how much of a freak he was, because they were like, "Hey, man, we're going to have to get serious and move you to tight end."
Yeah.
Like when he was a senior, I think. And I remember him coming in. I remember when he came in as a recruit, and you're like, "So they want this guy to play line." I mean, I get it. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
But you saw him, and you're like, I mean, he might be 225 or 230. And you go, "Well, they're going to put some weight on him, right?" So, yeah, he's definitely filled the part out. Right?
That's the recruiting model, though, that – and it goes, you know, back to Lavelle. It's like, recruit the best athlete that's available. And a lot of times in high school, they're the quarterback on their
it's
team.
It's like in baseball, it's the shortstop.
And they
just
end up either being a tight end, a linebacker, a defensive end, and an offensive lineman.
I mean,
he
was a great basketball player too. Jeremiah was telling me stories. In our KSL Sports Archives, we have videos of Blake Freeland just dunking on people in high school, right? And and he was saying he could probably even fill in on Mark Pope's squad if they had to, right?
They might need him, actually, this year, to be quite honest.
Jeremiah asked him, how much are you playing pickup ball these days? He's like, "I try to play at least twice a week, but I can't play too much."
Because the coaches will kill him.
Well, no, he says he starts to lose weight.
And
he's got to keep his weight up, right? But, I mean, he's a beast. 6'8", that's a mean guy. And tell you what, he's going to be fun to – I know – The sexy thing, the exciting thing, is to watch the ball carrier, the quarterback. But if you just watch those guys on the line for a series or two, wow, you'll see some dominant football.
Speaking of sexy guys, let's get back to Jaren Hall. Because, well, I mean, not him necessarily being sexy, but the positions, right?
Where you're like, quarterback.
Let's go back. We don't want to talk too much.
Quarterback's a sexy position.
Right. We don't want to talk too much about offensive linemen. We already had Connor Pay on for, like, way too long. No, he was amazing. But what I'm saying is like the O-line is as deep as any position on this team. So that's why I think they get so much respect. But let's go to Jaren Hall, some of the comments. We sat down with him, had a little bit of a one-on-one talking about what that team looks like now, what Christopher Brooks looks like, you know, having to replace Tyler Allgeier, all that right now. Here's Jaren Hall from today's media day.
How do you feel this year? I mean, like, obviously last year there was some health issues, but I mean, like, coming out of spring and coming to where you're at now, player room practices and everything. Yeah. How's everything been compared to where you were at last year, or the year before?
Yeah, light years ahead. I mean, comfort, understanding of the offense, understanding of my role as a leader on the team, as one of the older guys on the team who's been here, and a better understanding of myself as a football player, things I can handle, the things I need to work on. And the best ways to do those things sufficiently. You know, it's a race against time every day, so just finding ways to make the most of that time is not easier. So it's been good.
What's Chris Brooks been like? I mean, that's a guy who, you know, interestingly enough, a few years ago, you couldn't have something like this where a guy comes in immediately and makes an impact immediately. Yeah. But we were talking to Coach Yunga and A-Rod about how they're like – Have you seen this guy? Like, he's just the athleticism. I would imagine you've got to feel pretty blessed to have, like, going from one freak athlete, big dude in the backfield, to another. How's it been with him?
Chris is such a good dude, first and foremost. Calmest, kindest dude, very humble, but that dude's a workhorse. I mean, there's very few people that work as hard as he does on a daily basis. You know, he's done with school. He's graduated, got his degree from Cal, which is pretty impressive, and now he's just football, man, 24-7. So I applaud him for it. I'm excited to see what he does this fall. He had a great spring. I think he's earned the right to get a lot of snaps and see what he can do.
You've got a lot of weapons at the wide receiver core. Yeah. I mean, you must feel you're the one working with them every day, you and the other quarterbacks, to be able to see those guys. Yeah. Is this the best you've had it?
Oh, man, very close to it, yeah. I mean, it's just because of how experienced everyone is. You know, every year you got different talents and different guys. But for me, my 5 years, it's the most experienced wide receiver group I've had. And that alone plays its dividends. So I'm excited to see what happens when we let it loose, turn it, you know, just open it up and see what happens. I think it's going to have a lot of fun throwing the ball.
Is it just as a team-level stuff, or what do you want to do personally at quarterback to be able to kind of get to those other goals?
I want to win games, man. I just, looking back at the last 4 years, we've been so close to doing a lot of great things that we did, but I just feel like we left a lot of stuff short. We talk about it as an offense. There are times where we missed opportunities, and the goal this year is always is not to miss those opportunities. You know, when you have this much experience and the guys that we do, it's easy to say, oh, we should have a perfect year, blah, blah, blah. No, we just want to take every opportunity we can get and make the most of it, because I think if we play at our best, everything else will take care of itself. And so it's just being in the moment, working hard, preparing right, and just I think it's not taking any day for granted. We'll get the best out of it.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
You could tell Scott, he's healthy right now, and I think he feels so much more confident than he was halfway through the year.
Yeah, and why is because the greatest teacher is experience. And when you go out and go through a season, and what it does is it quiets your mind, because now things aren't, you're not wondering how it is. What's it like being a full-time starter? What's it like going through a full season? And he said, you know, we talk about it now where we miss some opportunities. And there are games that go, oh, man, if we'd have won that game, what would have happened? And so when you get a chance to kind of calm your mind and go through that experience, people would expect Jaren to go, okay, Jaren was good next year. And then the logical progression is, like, maybe it was level 1 last year, and now this year he's level 2. But when you get that experience and then you bring all these people back, you don't go to level 2. You go to level 4.
Right.
And so that's what experience, and that's what being able to calm your mind does for you. You gain so much more confidence, and you're such a better player because you now know. You're not guessing or wondering.
Sam, when we watched the progression of Jaren Hall, he's been mature for a long time. People have used mature to describe him for a long time. So what's different about this guy? What's better about Jaren Hall now in 2022 than we've seen? I think we're all kind of anticipating this might be his final year if he has a good enough one.
So I know that this might be hard to describe, but last year Media Day compared to this year Media Day, just body language, and I know maybe I'm reading a little too far into this,
no.
But he comes in and sits down. He seemed way more comfortable, even just talking to the media, way more confident in his answers. He wasn't so short-winded and brief in the way he spoke with us. Today he spoke with confidence. He spoke, sounded like a leader, right? Sounded like the guy you'd listen to in the huddle, the guy who's ready to go out and make plays, the guy who knows – he's going to be an NFL quarterback someday, right? And you know, he's got to show that on the football field still. But like Scott was saying, I mean, it's time to take it to level four. With this roster, if he doesn't take it to that level, then okay, what happened? There's something wrong, because there really is no excuse with the playmakers he has to get the ball to, the guys he has blocking for him up front. Chris Brooks, a guy I'm excited to see on the football field. I mean, the table is so set for Jaren Hall to have success this year. It's just up to him.
Tonight, you guys are going to have a couple clips on TV that we can see, not just be able to hear it, but also see a little bit. What are we anticipating on TV tonight? You guys are going to have a whole summer full of great interviews.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of great stuff. Yeah, tonight at 6 o'clock, in the 6 o'clock news, we'll be hearing from Kalani Sitake, Peyton Wilger, Keenan Peely, just for starters. And then we've got a whole bunch more coming tonight at 10. And, of course, Sports Beat Sunday and throughout the whole summer. It's almost football all the time.
Are you guys going to do a live shot from out here? Is that what's going on?
It's called TV Magic.
All right, quit.
It's called TV Magic.
Oh, you already sent something back to the station?
Wink, wink, yes. It's in the books.
Don't give away the magic secrets.
It's all good. It's all good. I think people get it. I don't know. Maybe they don't. But yeah, we were.
I just thought it's almost 6 and you're already down here. Let's get a live shot going on. Yeah. Let's toss to Sam. Sam, what do you got going off of Lord Provo? Come on.
So there we go. Yep. All little TV magic for the last BYU Media Day of the Independence.
You guys have been hustling. So we've been super glad to have all of our colleagues down here and just chat and kind of see what everybody's view of it has been. So we'll take a next break here when we'll come back.
Sam, stay away from the candy, will you?
Yeah. Black licorice.
Yeah, stay away from it.
We can't not have the conversation. Everybody just started talking about how – did you have licorice ice cream, or was it just him?
No, I saw
you
it.
You saw it.
Black licorice.
And
I've had it before.
And I'm just like, that's got to be disgusting.
I like it.
Sam likes it. All right. We'll come back. We have a two-minute drill, special two-minute drill around the corner. 2 minutes of Kalani Sitake talking about how important playing time is to these players, but if they're not good enough – about being honest with those guys. So we'll come back. More to go. Wrap things up next from BYU Media Day right here in Provo. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown. It's the
two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.